Davis from Mental Health Chats, and I am here with the lovely David Jeffries. Hello, David. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. Yourself?
I'm very well. Thank you for being here today. And what David and I are actually speaking about, it's all about in organisations, conflict resolution and stress, and how they can actually go together and what the consequences are and the benefits of resolving conflicts. So first of all, who is David Jeffries?
David Jeffries. I'm just this guy, you know. Who's David Jeffries? David Jeffries is, as I say, just someone that exists on the planet Earth at this moment. And I do what most people do. I try to have fun. I try not to hurt anyone. And I want to, my main aim in life is to leave things better than they were before I arrived. So yeah, I just like fixing stuff. So that's me. But yeah, do I like dogs or cats? I have a cat.
Okay.
I used to have a dog. Yeah, I love animals. I'm a massive Doctor Who fan. And I suppose that's why I do what I do, which we'll come on to in a minute, I guess.
Won't we? Excellent.
When we start talking about what I do. But I love solving problems and I like making things better.
Oh, I love it. And I love your line there. I've come on this earth and I just hope I leaving it better than it was before. That is fantastic. Fantastic. I'm going to quote that. And Doctor Who, you must have loved the it's 60 years this year, isn't it? 60
yeah,
years.
It was quite good, actually.
Yeah. My husband has been watching them non-stop. So I wake up in the middle of the night with that Doctor Who music going on in my head. So funny. So first of all, tell us a little bit more about exactly what you do.
Right. What do I do? I'm a psychologist. That's my profession, as it were. And I specialise in criminal psychology, making things better, you see, trying to get rid of all the crime in the world. It's there. And I focus on deception detection and what I call investigative interviewing, which is, yes, when I say that, people say, oh, so you like, you know, you get involved in police interviews and interviews of suspects. And I'm like, yes, that's one aspect of it. But investigative interviewing is really all interviewing if you do it right. Because if you are interviewing for a job, what are you doing? You're trying to investigate if that person is good enough to employ. If you're interviewing someone because it's an annual appraisal, again, it's a kind of investigation, isn't it? How's your year been? How do you feel? How do we feel about you? So investigative interviewing is about getting an interview that provides you with what you went in for. So that's my big thing that I love. I work with organizations to improve communication and understanding, mainly through language analysis, statement analysis, and the interpretation of nonverbal communication skills, I guess. And I try and dispel some of the rumors and some of the half-truths that are out there. So, you know, oh, he looked up to the right, so therefore he must be lying. Absolute rubbish. We focus on real psychology and real body language. I also work with HR. So I'm the stuff that I do either with them or I train them in how to use this helps with disputes, conflict resolution, as I've already mentioned, recruitment and things like that. So HR is a really good business partner for me as well.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. And I love that about the body language. It just reminded me of the first Big Brother that was on. I remember watching it. They had no idea that it had gone viral. In those days, we didn't use the word viral, and I was in Leicester Square and it was on the big screen and they were analysing every little bit of body language. Let's get on to the conflict resolution, because this is why I've called you in. I absolutely love the work you do. So conflict resolution and stress go hand in hand. So for an organisation, what are the consequences of not resolving conflicts?
Okay, so there are two types of activity that any organisation can carry out. There are those that contribute to the success and the profit, if necessary, and those that detract and also cost money. Now, conflicts, to me, fall in the latter category.
Yeah,
they are a drain on resources, on money. They slow down your daily process, and they can and do almost always affect the entire organisation. You have a conflict in one area, it's like a sort of a psychological COVID. It spreads.
Yeah.
People pick up on it. People go into that department, that office, and before you know it, it's a rotten environment, and it's somewhere where people ultimately don't want to work. And of course, that adds to turnover and all the costs that go with it. And a particular bugbear of mine is this thing, creative conflict. Hey, we've got creative conflict in this company.
Yeah.
I think the term creative conflict is often used to disguise a negative and working atmosphere, frequently a bullying culture. You know, when we have an argument or it's creative. It's only to. I don't believe that. I don't buy that. So anywhere where there is conflict, you're going to. It comes with a price.
Yeah,
that's the main consequence to an organization. And I've seen departments practically destroyed because of conflict that's going on in there, because people don't talk. Some people are then scared, and it's not just the two in conflict. If there's a conflict going on in there, other people won't want to be there because of, you know, Fred and George over here are always at each other's throat. You know, this office is really, or this shop, or this department, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible atmosphere. You know, it doesn't affect me. Yeah. I'm not involved in it, but it just makes the whole place somewhere
toxic. Yeah.
Toxic. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a good word. It's the toxicity that it's like a conflict is like a petri dish for toxicity. It just grows and thrives on it. And that's why I don't like conflict. That's why I like to resolve it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's so true. You've just hit a really important point, which is that even if you're not involved in the conflict, it can cause you stress. It can cause you anxiety. It can cause you, I don't want to go into work today because I am sick of whoever and whoever having these conflicts. And it also made me think about conflicts that I've had to deal with in the past, when people use the excuse of, oh, it's just banter.
Banter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Banter begins with a B, so does bullying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really good
banter. I mean, banter. Well, let's face it, while we're recording this, is at the height of a real big issue in the UK about some horrible words that people have been saying, certain people involved in politics. And sitting there watching people say, oh, he's apologised, it's okay, we can move on. You can't apologise and move on. If you've got banter, which is another word to disguise bullying and unfairness, because banter always comes from the strong against the weak.
Yeah.
And as someone that was a victim of bullying at school and in the workplace, and in a part of my private life as well, you know, bullying is, you can't describe it. We used to say when I was at school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, names hurt.
They do.
And it's all very well saying stiff upper lip, and it's just, you're just one, you know, got to join in with the lads. No.
Thank you for actually being so passionate about that, because I'm really passionate about that as well. So let's flip it on its head. Let's imagine an organization where conflict has been resolved. What are the benefits of that?
Well, for the business or for the organization, because, you know, it doesn't matter if you're there to make money or a charity or you work in the public sector, you're a service provider, whatever, it's going to free up time and resources. You can focus more on the core functions. You can do your day job. You're not worried about something that's there that's a drain on you as an organization. You get a better atmosphere. People are more happier going to work. As you say, you won't get this, I don't want to go in today because it's going to be awful. The toxic culture disappears. And if both sides can be reconciled, which they quite often can, because it's over a misunderstanding or something like that, it's going to improve the entire organization. It's going to help reduce the turnover, all of that HR, the employment issues, the recruitment issues. I will caveat that, though, because sometimes losing someone because of that, because you deal with it properly and you manage someone, and that mean part of that management process means somebody has to go, that could be the best decision.
Yeah.
But managing that positively is the key to that one. So if you've got someone who obviously is not going to fit, not going to change, and is in the wrong, let's say, or both are in the wrong, and they are a drain on the resources, ultimately, one or either of them will have to go, possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it may be that you can move one somewhere else, or move them both somewhere else, or one leaves and one stays. But you need to manage that. And you also need to do that in a way that everyone in the organization can see how you dealt with it. Because if something flares up somewhere else, or already is, but you're not aware of it, if they see that you've dealt with that and it's been dealt with well, they're more likely to come along and say, look, you really did that well. Can you have a look at this issue over here before it gets too bad? And it in itself, by dealing with a very negative issue in a positive way, it improves things.
Yeah.
It doesn't just resolve it. So resolving conflict is the aim. But if the resolution of the conflict actually improves the atmosphere of the organization, then in a way, you've improved things. So why would you not take on a conflict resolution?
Absolutely brilliant point. And I'm sure there's lots of people out there who want to hear more from David Jeffries and want to get in contact. So where can people actually find you, David?
Well, I've got two companies that I run. One I run with a business partner of mine, Wendy McLean, and that's The Mind Palace Limited, which is www.themindpalace.co.uk.
Brilliant.
That's the side that focuses more on the training and the, if you like, the psychological side of things. But my other company is Ad Astral Consulting Limited, which is www.adastralconsulting.co.uk. And that is more the corporate side. So that's more the investigative interview. I do some financial crime advice for companies, that sort of thing. So the Mind Palace is probably the one that individuals and small organizations might be interested in. And Ad Astral is more the corporate, more the corporate side of things. But go to both. Why not?
And you're on LinkedIn as well, aren't you?
Sorry.
You're on LinkedIn as well, aren't you?
I'm on LinkedIn, David Jeffries. You can find me on there. Yeah, right. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for your wise words. I think I could have talked to you all day. So thank you for your time and your wise words, and take care.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Claire.